Long, long time ago, some of you think no matter how far back I go, it wasn't a long time ago, but it was. It was a long, long time ago, and the high school choir director had us sing a song as part of a medley called The First Noel. And someone in the choir raised their hand and said, "What does Noel mean?" And he said, "I don't know. We're going to sing this song anyway, and let's proceed." Well, it caused a little bit of curiosity. And just recently, again, I looked it up. Have you looked up Noel in the dictionary? The first description, the first definition is that it means Christmas. So when I got something for you. Our whole church ought to do this around town. And see, and I don't know French, but it comes from a French phrase, and it's like joyous Noel. So instead of saying Merry Christmas, I tried it yesterday, and the person I said it to said, "What?" But instead of saying Merry Christmas, because Noel means Christmas, say Joyous Noel. And then we can describe, because they asked us, "Well, what did you say?" I said Joyous Noel, and Noel means Christmas, the birth of Christ. And we can just give a little more definition to what we're saying, rather than having people just brush off, "Oh yeah, happy holidays." But it means Christmas. It's a synonym for Christmas. Or it means a Christmas carol. But a more obscure meaning, and I wanted to double check. I'd run it across it before, and I wanted to double check last night. There was one dictionary that I found that said, and some writers define Noel as news, as pronouncement, announcement. And when we turn to Luke chapter 2, it seems like the writer of the hymn had it right in that respect, that the first Noel that the angels did say was to shepherds long ago, however that song goes. We're going to sing it at the end of the service, so you can have that running through your mind. Let's see, how does that song go? It means announcement or pronouncement, and that's what I'm going to use this morning in considering this word Noel. We all know the story, and we've seen the pictures of the angel appearing to the shepherds in Bible story books. You may have been old enough that, and in Sunday school where they had flannel graph and they had the figures they put on that felt board, and they had an angel, and they had the shepherds, and you got that lodged in your mind, what that looks like. But it's really familiar. But what really happened? I think we find out in Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 20. What does the Bible tell us? Now, we're going to look at not the whole thing here, but select parts of this passage. But I'd like to read from verse 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's thank the Lord for this word. Father, together we come, and we come expectantly because although this is a story that we hear every year, we thank you that you bring it meaning to our lives. And I pray that you'd use your word this morning, and by your Spirit you would apply it to us, give us encouragement, help us to grow through it, to become more bold in our exclamation of the Savior. So be with us at this time, and we give this hour to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you may not be familiar with everything that we have in our file cabinet that's called a bulletin, but one of them is a sermon outline, and if you'd like to follow that, you're welcome to take that. Well, first of all, I would like to ask, what was the proclamation, the Noel, the angels said to the shepherds? Well, first of all, they had to settle them down. They're out there in the dark, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Don't know what time of evening it was. Presumably, it was dark, because that's the way the pictures show it, and it says it was night. But it could have been earlier in the evening, but dark, because later on the shepherds are going to go to spread the word in town. But he had to settle them down because all of a sudden there's an angel there and speaks to them. But what was the first thing he said? "Don't be afraid. Fear not." That's often what angels said to people, wasn't it? "Whoa, don't be afraid. I have a message for you." But angels sometimes were the agents of judgment. And that would cause a person to be afraid, to know that they are powerful beings. The first account of an angel that we read about in the Bible is when God sent the angel to stand at the edge of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had sinned, and they were driven out of the garden, and God placed an angel there with a flaming sword. Remember, you can't come back. You can't come and take part in and eat of the tree of life and endure forever and ever in this condition. No, you can't come back. A fierce angel. Another time, and I've only got these two illustrations for now, but another time, the army of the Syrians were encamped against Jerusalem and laid siege to Jerusalem. And the people inside Jerusalem were starving. This was a sure thing that this army outside was going to get in and take the city. Nothing to it. Until an angel came. And God, through a prophet, had told Hezekiah at that time. Oh, you're going to catch me on it now. Which king was it? I don't know. But a prophet came and said, the city's going to be going through the gates tonight, and there's going to be plenty of food. Because what the angel did, one angel, went through the camp of the enemy and killed 185,000 soldiers. You know, that's bigger than Garden Valley. We're talking Boise size now. And 185,000 died. How powerful were these angels? And when they showed up, what did you expect? You didn't know what to expect. You don't know. Because not only is the angel there, but there's something going on that makes everything brilliant. What does the Bible say there? And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Have you thought of that? It wasn't just an angel coming, but it was the glory of God presented to these shepherds. That'd make your heart beat. That'd stop it. Zechariah, just a chapter earlier, had an angel appear to him, and Zechariah was a priest, and he was working in the temple, and the temple wasn't well lit. It had a gloomy feel about it. It had a candlestick and different things. The incense was burning in red coals, but all of a sudden, an angel appeared to him too. Boy, that would be fearful in this gloomy place. And all of a sudden, poof, what accompanied that angel? The glory of God. And Zechariah was to be the father of John the Baptist. And the angel had that message for him. But we can see that there was the appearance of angels caused most people to tremble in fear. We have different situations today, don't we? Because in Hebrews chapter 13, it's a lot more subtle. Because in Hebrews 13, it says, show hospitality. But many people have shown hospitality to angels unaware. They've entertained strangers because that was the thing to do. And it turns out that they entertained angels unawares. Maybe the song Angels Are Among Us might have something there, huh? What did the angels proclaim to the shepherds, though? He said in verse 10, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The message was good news, joyful news for all the people. The Greek word that we translate good news from is the word that means evangel. We share good news. So a person who shares good news with others shares the gospel, and gospel also means good news. But the person who shares the good news, what can we call them? An evangelist. Evangelist. And sharing good news. So let's see what this good news was. The angel told them that, first of all, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. I'd like to just spend a little time on this one. What didn't he say? He didn't say, a baby has been born to you. He said, a Savior. Take note of this, shepherds. A Savior has been born to you. He was a baby, yes. He's been born tonight. You know, I suppose, being who I am, and all the trials and tribulations I've been through, I kind of get tired of hearing about babies. I mean, babies are exciting. Lexi's going to have a baby. That'll be exciting. We've had babies come in our family. That's exciting. Kathy and I participate in the Samaritan's Ministry. Some of you do too. You get the Samaritan's newsletter, and you get a little sheet with prayer requests on it. And in the morning, we have our devotional time and scripture and so on. And we take out our prayer request things and various places and missions and whatnot. And we pray for whatever's on that day. And it can get kind of monotonous. It's a baby again. It was 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and 9.5 inches long. Did I say nine? 19. Yeah, that was just a little guy. Yeah. But you know, after 3 or 4 days of that, it's like, it's a baby again. Well, there are certain things that we can pray for the baby and for the family. We don't know them. We'll probably never see them this side of heaven. They're back in Pennsylvania. They're in Texas. They're Minnesota, all over the place. But this family had a baby. Will you pray for them today? Okay. Yeah. If the shepherds had come and said, today is born to you a baby. In Bethlehem, we have quite a few a year. What's the news about this? But when he said, a Savior has been born to you. This baby has a responsibility. He has a title. He has things that you think of about this baby that this is exciting. Now, if the Samaritans in that prayer request said the Partridges had a baby girl and she is going to solve the problem of cancer in her lifetime. Wow, that's news. That's great. We would say, hey, anybody getting cancer, hold off a while because this gal's going to grow up and solve the problem. She's going to find the remedy. They can't say that, can they? They can't tell us anything about what this baby's going to become except this one. This baby that's born is the Savior, is the one that you've been looking for. Every year, and possibly these shepherds are out here raising sheep for the sacrifices. It's possible. And there's speculation about that. But here they are raising sheep. There's going to be a lamb taken, and he's going to be carted off to Jerusalem and offered as an offering for someone's sin. It's going to be the Day of Atonement. It's whatever. They weren't thinking, man, I'm going to be out of a job. Someone is going to solve our sin problem. We're reminded of it every time a lamb is taken. The wages of sin is death. There it goes again. But now a Savior that comes, and his name means his name Jesus, because he'll be the Savior that takes away the sin of the world, carries the sin away. How could you pin your hopes on a baby? Only if God tells you what this baby is called to do. He is the Savior. But let's dissect it a little more. The message was, today in the town of David has been born to a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is Christ. He's the anointed one. He's Israel's Messiah, the one that was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. So that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, for unto you a child is born, and unto you a son is given. There he is. And the government will be upon his shoulders. It's not just a baby. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he is the Lord. He is Emmanuel. All through the Old Testament, we read about how the Lord desires to be among his people. And then he gives his son. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then God put an exclamation point to this Noel, this proclamation. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I don't know if there was melody to that or not. It says the angel said it. In our Christmas programs, we have the kids sing it. We sing it. And we sing, you know, we go on and on and sing. But can you imagine the glory of God, the single angel, all of a sudden being accompanied by the host of heaven? How many was that? That's bigger than any choir you could set up here on earth. Yeah, it's bigger than any college choir, university choir, church choir. Yeah, the host of heaven. And they said this, and then it says the angels left them. They're in this brilliant light. Oh. And the youngest little shepherd, he's probably 10 or 12, he goes, wow. And they're seeing kind of spots in their eyes. And one of the older shepherds says, what do we do with this? Let's go see what happened. Let's go see if this is true. Let's make sure. So what was the shepherd's Noel? What was their proclamation? They saw the evidence. It tells us that when the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go. Run into town. We find that this happens in Scripture. Another situation was when the Samaritan woman, you remember, she came out to get her water in the middle of the day at the well, come out of Sychar, a Samaritan town, and Jesus was sitting there, and Jesus confronted her, and she's in a discussion, he revealed to her when she mentioned that they say that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who am speaking to you am he. I am the Messiah. Boy, she took off running and she went into Sychar and told the people, and they came running out and gathered around Jesus. And then they said, it's not just because what you said, but we have heard him ourselves. We confirmed the message and we believe. Because we've heard him ourselves. We've seen him ourselves. And that's what was happening with the shepherds. Let's go see this baby. Boy, so much has been told us just in a minute's time. We learn that he is the Savior. He is the Christ. And he is the Lord, the one God to live among us. Let's go see this baby. They repeated the good news. And the good news, I'll tell you that Greek. Yeah, I got it up there. So then you can say, yeah, I know the Greek for that. Euangelos. Kind of sounds like Los Angeles. Euangelos. I don't think the N's supposed to be in there, though. I goofed. They're going to spread the good news. And they would join... The writer of the song, There's a Song in the Air. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. Aye, we shout to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet in his cradle our Savior and King. Isn't it great that people thought of those words to express the story in the Bible? I think that's so good. Their excitement was uncontainable. They hurried. They got after it. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. Their enthusiasm and fascination was unmitigated. It was bold and unrestrained to spread the word. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. What did they have to tell about this child? Three things. What was it? He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. The same things that the angel told them, they could take as good news and pass it on. Here in this little baby is all the hope of Israel, all the hope of the world. He is Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Well, that would be good news. So they spread the word concerning what had been told him, and they had run into Bethlehem. Whether they were welcome or not, they shared the good news. I'm kind of guessing they weren't welcome. Why would I say that? Because if there was strata of society and the really rich, wealthy, well-to-do, glorious people were on top, middle people had their jobs and things, where did the shepherds fit? Down on the bottom, in the mud. You know what those shepherds would do? They'd actually pick a lamb up out of the mud that had strayed off and carry it on their shoulders. I've had a little bit of experience with calves, and I knew if they get stuck in the mud and they're newborns and a few days old and they're in the mud, they urinate in it. Ooh, well, that changes my picture a little bit of a clean little sheep on the shepherd's shoulder. And they pick it up and they put it across their shoulders and they walk into where it's warm and they clean it up and they cuddle it and they get it to nurse a little bit. They feed it. Huh. And so when these shepherds go running in there, what are people, they're going to open their door and say, ew, you stink. It wasn't all like that because the people were amazed at their story. These guys were so excited about this, no one was going to shut them up. Even if they weren't welcome to come in, no one was going to shut them up. And they told the story that they had received from the angel. And what was the response of the people? They were amazed. They were amazed. I think their question was, how could this be? How come you're telling us? We would like to see the angel. Why are you telling us? So they weren't intrigued. They weren't excited. Not even curious enough. Perhaps incredulous that the shepherds were given the message. Perhaps they were repulsed by the idea of a baby born in a dirty stable. Too proud, too busy, too good, too clean. Not going to go see. Well, that's the way that happened. How do we respond to that good news? Statler brothers wondered that question too. Wondered about that. Some of you have the Statler's Holy Bible, and it talks about the birth of Jesus. And they say, who do you think could believe such a thing? Could believe that the story is true? Who do you think could believe such a thing? I sure hope to heaven you do. But it was that kind of, this is amazing. This is one of those things that makes a good story, but is it true? Yeah. We weren't there. We can't reproduce what happened. What happened? A virgin gave birth. The Word of God became flesh. The Son of God, the Holy One, was born. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us, because we weren't there, because we trust God. But there's a couple things that we must have to really grasp this story. We must have a personal relationship with the revealer of history. We've got to know the source. People in this world put up creches. They have the nativity scene. They have it on their counter or table or out in their yard. And they think, this is kind of a cool tradition. but to really know the story, a Savior who is Christ, the Lord, must be grasped because we know the God of history. And we must have a personal relationship with the preserver of the account. He's kept this account alive for us. It's come down through history, and it's been written in the scriptures, and we have it. God gave us the truth. God also gives us the faith to believe the truth and to trust Him. Now, if you're here today, and this is a great story, but He's not your Savior, you've missed the point. I'd invite you, even right now, just to bow your head, Lord Jesus. You came for me too. This is good news for all the people. I might consider myself maybe among the shepherds. I don't know. But you came to save my soul. You can clean me, make me fit for your kingdom. God gives us the faith to believe the truth and to trust Him. We must believe God's testimony concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5, we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that's the ultimate message of Noel. God's wonderful gift was given because He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Story's familiar. I trust it's also refreshing to our faith. Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us that gift of Your Son. Thank You for giving Him the exposure to lots and lots of people, that after the resurrection, His message was confirmed. People believed. They passed it on. The scriptures were written, and it's been passed on to us. The way we receive it is by faith and trust in You, by receiving Your Son as our Savior too, acknowledging Him as Lord, believing He is the promised Messiah that died for our sins, that came and will rule and have the government on His shoulders. But there are things future yet, and so we walk by faith and not by sight in those things. But I pray that You'd build our faith for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I said,